can go anytime you need.
My name's Isabel, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Isabel.
Hi, everybody. Done this work as it's laid out in the Big Book with the help of God and my Big Book Step Study sponsor. Made all the amends that I know to have made during my work. And I do still, of course, make daily amends as needed. And with God's help, I can live the best life ever by doing 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. So glad to see everybody. First thing I'd like to do is make an amends for last week. I signed up to do the last session, which would have been step three, and I got sick at church, and all I could think about was going home. And when I looked at my calendar, it said Big Book Step Study meeting, but there was an extension that said step three, and I didn't see that because I didn't look at the full page. So let me apologize for not showing up last week, and I thank you, Mark, for jumping in there. And as usual, we all try to cover the speaker or the chair as needed. This step is crucial, especially in Big Book Step Study, because of the very unusual, thorough way that we approach it in this work. But recently, I've been thinking just in general about 12 steps and thinking how very much it's like building a house. And so, you know, we start out with that foundational understanding in step one that we have a huge problem and that our life is unmanageable. And that has to be done very, very thoroughly because everything is going to be based on that step one and that foundation, so to speak, being absolutely level and as good as we can do it before we start stacking other things on it like floors in a building. So by the time we get to step four, we've done some real, I think, hopefully soul-searching about how we ended up here powerless over something. And that we have got to have a power greater than ourselves in our life or we're not going to get sane. And that three, especially in Big Book Step Study again, it's a very formal step three where you're generally alone with your Big Book Step Study sponsor and you have a little conversation and you say this third step prayer together, usually holding hands, and that it's very clear that you have made a decision to turn your will and your life over to God as you understand Him. And then, of course, this book immediately tells you what you're going to do next is your personal inventory. And there's no time in between. You just jump right into it, and you're going to start inventorying your life. So the part that seems to be cropping up, even at a meeting I was at yesterday, is this whole idea that we have this threefold illness, which we've heard a million times, spiritual, physical, and mental. But our little paragraph here about resentment tells us that resentment falls under the category of our spiritual disease, and that our spiritual understanding of our disease and its symptoms is so crucial that if we do that properly, then we may straighten out mentally and physically after that. So it's kind of like, again, that building block of we do that spiritual work and get that taken care of, and then the mental and physical healing we hope will follow straight away. So it tells us how to do this. And it tells us, of course, that we have to do some writing. And if you've done this work as it's laid out in the Big Book, you have done some writing. And chances are you're still doing some writing. I know that for myself, every now and then something comes up that is of the nature that I seek the help of somebody else. I tell them what's going on. We talk about what I should do next, which is always to do some writing about it in the same format in which we do it here. And then I share what I've written with that person. And the reason that's so important, that does, I don't know whether it makes sense to you until you do the work, but this is just the best way that I can think about it. When you're mad at somebody, and that's really what this is all about, you can give it a lot of different names, but if you're mad at somebody and you're angry with them, when you're in that state of mind, the only thing you can see is what they have done. The way they've talked to you, or the way they've treated you, or they've cheated you, or they've stolen from you, or they hit your car when you were an innocent person inside of the store, or whatever it is, but you're mad. And so the purpose of this work is that, you know, it was written for addicts and alcoholics, right? It was written for alcoholics, and we've now expanded it to all of the people with this type of spiritual disease. And we need to be able to say, okay, we're mad at them, and they did this thing, but what are we going to do about it? And so the first question is, we asked ourselves why we were angry. So that's the point in the writing where you get to say, just like it does in page 65, here's the person's name, and if it's somebody that hit you your car while you were in the store, it's unknown assailant of some kind. And what happened? They hit your car, and how does that affect you? And if they've hit your car and possibly you have a huge deductible, it's going to say something in there about your pocketbook being affected by that incident, right? So you get to choose from all these different things. But the important thing is that we follow these directions that tell us that first we're going to do people, we're going to do institutions, we're going to do principles, we're going to ask ourselves why we were angry, and that's our chance to say what happened. And many people in Big Book Step Study emphasize the fact that this is not your opportunity to write the great American novel. It is to be very succinct. Maybe I've heard people say 12 words or less or something like that. To me, that's a little bit legalistic, and I don't want to get there. Just say briefly. I think of it as a headlines. You know, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. That says a lot in just a few words, right? And you know everything else that affects, right? But keep it short. And another reason to keep it short is, in my opinion, is because it helps so much to take this big, huge thing that's made you so mad and get it down to really the essence of why you're mad. And if you'll pray and think about that, a lot of times it's pretty simple. And that may be surprising to you if you're still really, really mad, because then you look at it and you think, it doesn't look as big as I thought it would look, because I was really, really mad. So then it tells us that we have to see what it affects, as we see on page 65. Now, from a Big Book Step Study standpoint, I would say that Mr. Brown, there's three distinct resentments. One of them is the attention to our person's wife. Another one is that Mr. Brown told his wife about his mistress. And the third one is that there's something about the job, and Mr. Brown may get our friend's job. So those are three distinct resentments, in my opinion. That's why it's written over to the side just as it is. So if you put a line between wife and self-esteem, and then consider that the second one, it would read this way rather than this way. Now, Mrs. Jones, on the other hand, you could take that apart. It's hard to say the cause is that she's a nut, but she did snub him, and that's a real resentment. Then she committed his friend for drinking, and then she's gossiped. So that could even be broken down into three resentments. However, our book says no, that it affects personal relationships, self-esteem, fear. The point is that when you're working with your sponsor and you get some of this writing done, that sponsor will usually help you to see if something needs to be broken down more because it affects different things about your life, or if you can group it all together in pretty much the same thing. The employer, the same kind of thing. There's a little bit of padding the expense account in there. So you might want to, if that was your situation, you might want to say that there was some sort of pocketbook issue that might need to be addressed with that one. And the wife, you know, she's done several things too. One of her sins was that she likes Brown. And, you know, and so then, and she apparently has been thinking ahead about the possibilities of this marriage not surviving, and that she would like to have the house. So that's got him pretty riled up too. So all this part is an example to you as to how to do your writing so that you can kind of see how you do have to kind of break it down. Then it tells us that we go back through our lives. And for some people, that starts, you know, it's their earliest memory. I've heard other people say every person you've ever known in your life. My instructions were to pray. To pray, and for 3 days, it spent at least 1 hour a day with the names coming as they came. And that's how I did it. And so they were jumbled up. They weren't necessarily chronological. They weren't necessarily all my employment type of history or my grade school history or my family history. They just came as they came. And sometimes it felt a little bit like that scarf that the clown pulls out of a thing. So you'd pull one out, and then with that came another one and another one, and you think, wow, there was a bunch of stuff in there in that particular part of my life. The instructions, like at the bottom of 65, it says, we considered it carefully after we finished doing all that. And that's, I mean, I don't know about you, but I was so relieved to be through with that part of it and possibly get some new instructions that I don't know that I sat there and really considered it carefully. I knew it had been so huge in my life that it had already changed me, that I already saw things differently, that I already was willing to even laugh at myself as I was writing some of them, thinking, how ridiculous is this? This is so silly. But it was, in fact, my resentments. So the first thing apparent was that the world and its people were often quite wrong. And the point of doing our inventory is for us to see that we are one of the people in this world, and we're quite wrong many times. But when we're mad, it's hard to see that. Especially when somebody's done some pretty terrible things to you, it's very hard to imagine that you could ever do that to another person, or that you had a part in that in any way. But I do believe that that is why we do this writing, because if we don't see that we are one of the human beings walking around making mistakes every day, sometimes hurting people's feelings without even knowing it, right? And then they come up to you and say something like, you said something to me the other day, and you may even have trouble remembering what you said. But the point is, you've made somebody unhappy, or you've hurt somebody, even without that being your intention at all. So it tells you about how these relationships in many ways are like a war, and they certainly are with long relationships. But as in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. And I know that I think the basic character flaw that led me to so much resentment in my life was that I thought that some people needed to be punished for what they did. There needed to be some repercussions. There needed to be some bad thing happen in their life so they would realize how wrong they were. And so that's the kind of stuff that had to get undone in my own mind, that I am not entitled to have that kind of power over somebody, or even think that I do, because it's very detrimental, not to them so much as it is to me. And so just to give that up as a thought, that you're in a war with somebody and that there's two sides and somebody's going to win. Chances are, if you keep it up going long enough, neither party's going to win. It's going to be bad for both people. So deep resentment is next described in this next paragraph as futile and infinitely grave and fatal. Well, that about says it, doesn't it? It's like a poison. And we've all heard that little story about drinking poison and expecting the other guy to die. But we need to understand, when we do our own inventory, that is the truth. There's all sorts of death. Only one of them is physical. The other one can be a spiritual death. There, I don't know about you, but when I came into recovery, I didn't really see a whole lot of point in living. Things had gotten so messed up and so screwed up that I just thought, I look everywhere in my life and I can't see anything that's right. And I don't know that I want to keep living. So some suicidal ideology was a part of my own history. So that's a different type of fatality, but it was certainly going to lead to first a spiritual kind of death and then maybe even a physical death. But the next paragraph perks right up and says, but if we were to live, we had to be free of anger. And so that's why you're doing this resentment inventory. It's because you want to be free of anger. Love that whole thing about the grouch and the brainstorm. That was a real revelation to me, what brainstorm meant in that era. And I still am very happy with thinking about that. When thinking that when you are so angry that you end up on the front page of the Jacksonville paper, the chances are if they took a thermal picture of your brain when you were that mad, it was a brainstorm. You know, it really shorted out, and you were capable of killing somebody, you know, or running over somebody with your car intentionally or whatever it might be. So that is what a true brainstorm is by definition in this particular book. But it's certainly poisonous. It's certainly grave. So then the next paragraph addresses something that was present in my inventory, which was things that were fancied and not necessarily real. Because if you brood over something long enough, you can't tell that it's not fancied anymore. You think it is real because it's having that same effect. Like, you know, doctors will tell you that when you have anxiety, the actual physical thing that happens to your body with the adrenaline rush and all the things that happen, it is exactly the same as if some horrible thing was going to happen, like a tiger was chasing you. So the physical effects on your body are the same, whether it's fancied or real, and it's just in your head. So it is destructive, that's for sure. And I also suffered from some of those anxiety problems in my life as well. So it says there, fancied or real, it really has the power to kill. Again, how? In many ways, spiritual death being one of them too. So then it says, how can we escape? We could wish these problems to go away, just like we used to wish that our substance or our addictions would go away. Then we think, oh, if they would just go away, I'd be fine. Well, we realize that sometimes we had to do a little bit more work. And, you know, the sick man's prayer, which is what's going to follow the next paragraph, is something that people have to use even while they're writing. Because they can get into a situation while they're writing that they have to get past this. And the only way to do that is to start praying for this person in their life that is continuing to give them problems. And it puts the onus of recovery and prayer and help on the person who's feeling this. Because it says you're going to ask yourself, how can I be helpful to this person, this very person that's driving you crazy, and also to recognize that you must be saved from this anger, that God has to help you with this anger because this is not good. So again, it can be done while you're writing. If it crops up and it's bad enough, it can block you from writing, and we don't want that to happen. So we're going back down here to the next part, which is referring to our list again. We're going to actually do something with this list, and we're going to ask ourselves these four important parts of our inventory in Big Book Step Study, which is our selfishness, our dishonesty, our self-seeking, and our fear. And it tells you that we have to find out for ourselves if there was any blame on our part that this situation happened. And remember that we're not taking anybody's inventory but our own. And that's very, very important. When you get sidetracked, hopefully you're checking in while you're writing with your sponsor, and they can say, you got a little sidetracked. I remember one time my husband retired from the Navy, and right at the end of his career, he got sick. And so he was not able to make a med cruise that he was scheduled to make. And so when he didn't make the med cruise, they came back to him, and they said, you don't have very much time left on this enlistment, and so you have 3 days to tell us whether you're willing to re-up for 2 years or you're already out of the Navy and you're on leave already. And I was pissed. It just threw our whole life into a turmoil. And so I had that in my inventory, and I remember my sponsor saying to me, were you in the Navy? And I said, no. She said, well, you need to recognize that you have borrowed a resentment that doesn't belong to you. And see, I didn't even think of it that way. It made me mad. It affected my life. But that is the truth. You know, this is my inventory. This is about things that have happened to me. that I need to work out and let God help me with. So we have to admit them, those faults when we see them. We have to be willing to set these matters straight. So thanks for listening.
Thank you.